Time is running out for the planet Earth.
It's impervious to all voices.
It is an intriguing sensation.
It's a nuclear device.
Fun, fun, fun!
Yes, that's nice.
Statistically speaking, of course, it's still the safest way to travel.
It belongs to a creature from outer space.
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's very important.
It does not compute.
It's a trap!
Hi, everyone. I'm Daniel Pickett.
I'm Jason Lindsay.
And welcome to another new episode of Geek Shall Inherit.
I feel every time that you say that,
yep.
It's almost like you're welcoming them and me. Because I never say, and welcome to another episode. We always do this thing where you do that, and
yeah.
I do that, and then you say welcome. So I feel like you're kind of welcoming me to the show as well.
Would you like to say it one week?
I don't need to.
We can work that out.
I mean, we can sometime. We can, like,
okay.
Screw people up.
Hey, what's with the other guy saying it?
Why is he open? Oh, I got the wrong site.
It's
so that's
wrong
not the right show.
It's the Bizarro podcast.
But thanks for welcoming me.
Absolutely.
I feel like you're welcoming
me. I welcome
me
you.
Each
I welcome
week.
Everyone. I'm yes. glad to have everyone.
They're very glad excited, to have you.
Very excited
if you
for
know what I
everyone
mean.
To be here. I do know what
if
you mean.
If you folks don't realize, Daniel gets around. I've read
true.
Some bathroom walls.
Yes.
He's had a lot of people.
That's true.
How you doing? How was your trip?
It was good, yeah.
You
I
were
got
away.
To,
you went to San Francisco.
I did. I was up, had to go visit the mothership a little bit for work this week,
did
so.
You wear flowers in your hair and hit hate?
No, I didn't have to do
the
any
hate
of that.
With the guitar?
No.
Walking down there?
No, I was actually close to that, though.
But you
I got
scored
to,
for me, right?
I visited my brother, and he lives kind of right over there by that. But,
right. Your brother who?
Who wrote our theme song.
Yes.
And we interviewed
climbing the
many,
charts.
Many episodes ago.
Right. Say, are we going to make a resolution for if the show continues in 2013?
What do you mean if?
To do some interviews?
Yes.
I've got a couple people that are begging.
We have a lot of people. Yeah.
Begging to be yeah. interviewed.
I actually have our top people working on that technology right now.
Really?
I do.
NASA?
Yes, I have NASA. Because they're not doing anything. They're not sending people into space anymore.
FEMA?
So. Why would FEMA work on that?
Because it could be so dangerous that it could be a hazard.
I feel like
country.
FEMA's got some other things on their plate
I'm just
right
saying,
now.
I've got some people at FEMA looking into it.
Okay, well, that's
it,
right.
It could
you,
cause
you,
some car crashes.
You get your people going.
Yeah.
And I will get my people.
So good. So 2000, that's our resolution for 2013.
Yes,
I know
that's
we talked
right.
about it a long time ago.
We did.
But people get busy, things happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll make that happen. But we got lots of people that want to be
yes,
on the show.
Yes, no, that is a priority here
yes.
at the International House of Podcasts.
That's right. So let's get it kicked off right away.
Okay.
What are you excited about?
The thing I'm excited about, this is kind of a new thing for me. My wife and I just started, we really looked at how we were spending our time and what we were, you know, working on and what we made priorities, and we decided we're just not watching enough TV.
Oh, yeah, you know, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Between the gaming and television.
Right.
I think you need to crank up the television.
That's what we were thinking, too.
Yeah.
So we were like, hey, what new show can we check out?
Because let's be honest, I mean, if you really had to count, how many shows do you keep track of?
The answer is all of them.
All of them.
Pretty
so
much,
everything
yeah.
from... You know, reading Rainbow to
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil. You watch
all
everything.
All the way to, yeah.
So you shouldn't be here right now.
That is absolutely
but you do,
true.
But seriously, you do follow about, what, 12 shows?
Oh, no. I think between the two of us on two DVRs, we have about 80 shows, if not more.
80?
80. 80.
Shows, like
yeah.
per week?
Yes.
And can you give me just a sampling of some of those titles?
Sure, you know, Boardwalk Empire, Dexter, Homeland, you know, we watch The Newsroom when it's on, True Blood, Sons of Anarchy, you know, Big Bang Theory, Parenthood,
wow.
Yeah, a lot
wow.
of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and now you've
The
added,
Daily Show, Late Show with David Letterman.
You've added know? A new show.
We've added a new show.
Do you kiss ever? Do you take time out to kiss? Like,
oh, yeah.
During commercials?
During
stuff?
The commercials.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Really.
Good.
Sweaty
what,
teenagers.
What have you added?
This was actually a recommendation from, you know, we interviewed Ralph Garman a while back at, the,
right.
at the Batman thing.
Black Carpet.
And he had recommended Alphas
yes.
on the Sci-Fi Network,
yes.
which is a show I knew of and had heard lots of good things about, but never got on board. I think I kind of felt burned a little bit still from Heroes.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the potential of that. But they're in their second season now, so
right.
we just started, we went and grabbed the first season and started watching it. I think we're about 6 episodes in and really, really enjoying it.
I thought it was, you know, we got a screener. My wife got a screener a while back, and I watched some of it, and I thought,
yeah.
it was, I didn't get hooked, but I thought it was pretty good. And I love David Strathairn.
Yeah.
You know, he's just one of those.
He's dynamite.
Just constantly dependable actor that's been around, you know, forever. Which totally. Reminds me of something I'll tell you in a second. But,
okay.
But so you're excited about...
Just that, you know, that's it's a new show, and it's it really exceeded my expectations.
But it's coming back or something?
It just actually finished its second season.
Oh, I see.
So we'll finish season one, and then probably by that time, season two will be available in some sort of digital format for the slurping and the downloads.
The player.
No, I won't have to pop it in a player.
I know.
We will stream it because it's 2012.
Yeah, it's funny. I was at the store not long ago, and... some of the times when you're like at Best Buy, this will segue into what I'm excited about.
Okay.
Because I was looking for a specific album, believe it or not.
They still make those?
They still have some CDs at
Speaking of popping things
Best
in
Buy.
The player.
But I was told that I had to go to Best Buy to get this specific, you know, album because it was a special thing.
And what is
it? And I couldn't find it. Well, I'll tell you in a sec. But, you know, they have a lot of TV DVD sets of like classic television that are very, mm-hmm. very cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, like $7 or $8, $5, $9 for an entire season.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but it caught my eye. Season two of Miami Vice.
Season two?
Because I remember...
Why so soon?
I remember watching the first season and really liking it as a teenager, you know, in high school. And it was like, I knew this was a show. And it, love it or hate it, it was a revolutionary show.
Yeah.
It was like when Twin Peaks came along, it was like no one had ever seen something like this on television.
Mm-hmm.
Miami Vice was... The style involved, the money that was spent on songs and music and things like that, it really was a high watermark in the 80s for television. Yes, it's very dated and cheesy and a lot of stereotypes and things like that, but it's amazing how many faces pop up in these episodes.
Yeah, it's like The Love Boat.
David Strathairn.
Yeah.
Nathan Lane. Ted Nugent. Phil Collins did an episode where he was a main character in an episode. It was just this great encapsulation. I mean, Miles Davis plays like a pimp in one of them. It's just really strange. Everybody, it was like one of those shows like Batman in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody wanted to be on it.
Yeah, like Fantasy Island and Love Boat.
Yeah, it was a very hip thing. Yeah. People wanted to be on the thing.
So is that why you have your jacket sleeves pushed up over your elbows right now?
That's right. And I'm not wearing socks.
Oh, okay.
And I brought up my espadrilles from 87.
Nice.
They're a little rough, but...
Yeah. But so are you.
Still
I mean,
comfy.
Really.
But I'm got the stubble going.
Yes.
So that, but the reason I was at Best Buy leads me to what I am excited about this week. On Monday night, I am going to my first Rush concert.
So by the time people are listening
to this.
Listen
to this, I will have been to my first Rush concert. Now,
wow.
As you know from listening in the past, I am a novice with Rush. I am not a fan. I do not dislike them. I do not like their music. It's just not particularly my cup of tea.
Okay.
I respect them and I admire them, and they're one of those artists that I always said I'd like to see before I die. You know, like,
right.
I'd love to see Springsteen. I don't own a Springsteen album, but I'd love to see the show he puts on because I hear he's a phenomenal, you know, showman. And my friend Bob Lundgren, who is the number one Rush fan in the world,
right.
as everyone knows, had an extra ticket, and we are going Monday night. And the reason I was at Best Buy was the new album, which is called... I believe Clockwork Angels is supposedly at Best Buy in some special packaging or something, and
okay.
I haven't been able to find it yet. But I said to him, I texted him and said, look, I'm going to be talking about you and Rush on the show. I know you're a huge fan. Is there anything you'd like me to say about Rush?
Okay.
Besides the fact...
To give the people a little more.
Give the people a little more. It's at the Universal Amphitheater, and this is the first time in 40 years of touring that they're playing with... having other musicians play live with them, a full orchestra, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Or a string section, I think, is,
yeah.
is going to be there. And I said, anything else you want me to say about the band or you or anything? And he said, just this. And the men who hold high places must be the ones to start, to mold a new reality closer to the heart.
Wow.
And I think that...
That sums it up.
I think that says it all
about
Rush. So... I picked up like a greatest hits, and I've got a couple other records of theirs, and I've been listening to them, trying to kind of.
So you're doing like a quick study guide before the show.
Yeah, because
let's
be honest, the average length of a Rush song is about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of noodling going on in there, so
yes.
I don't want to be completely lost.
Right.
The
right.
Show. But I'm excited for it, and I'm excited to be going with a guy that he's so excited about this,
yeah.
to see them again. He's seen them like 100 times. But to be taking me as a novice,
yes.
to experience this.
That's
so
right.
It should be fun. And we probably
the
have
Rush
some Rush
virgin.
Fans in the audience, I would imagine, because...
I know we do. Yeah, last time you talked about it, some people piped up and said, "Oh yeah, I love the Rush."
They're a popular band.
Yeah, but you saw the Monkees now, right? Didn't you see them already?
I did. I saw them over the weekend. It was amazing. I have to say, it was. I mean, Nesmith is, you know, looking his age and he's moving kind of slow, whatever. But you know, Dolan's hit all the notes. But I really went for Nesmith because I love his songs in the Monkees. I love him after, but his stuff in the Monkees is brilliant. And man, he played every single song that he had almost in the Monkees.
Well, they had better.
And it was a lot of fun. Okay. It was at the Greek, and there's not a bad seat in the house.
And did you feel old or young?
I didn't, you know, it's funny because it's such a weird thing because you watch them and you kind of feel, you know, you're watching something that's not cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know,
that's Nesmith, how people feel about this show.
Nesmith was cool.
Right.
You know, he was like the cool one. He was always kind of the hipster in the group, and he was a great songwriter.
Yeah.
But it's not really nostalgia for them. In other words, if this had been the other three,
yeah,
just that, you know, Davy Jones and Peter and I would never have gone. It was a chance to see Nesmith, really, because he's such a recluse with this stuff.
Did they do any wacky hijinks between songs?
They did not.
Like fast paced, fast
motion.
They
threw out some jokes here and there.
All right.
And Nesmith had that dry sort of sense of humor, but no, none of the wacky staging. I mean, Nesmith is 69.
Was he wearing a little hat?
No, he wasn't even wearing a hat. He looked like Nesmith's granddad. Sort of.
Gosh.
But it was fun, and I actually talked to Alex Ross the other day about it, and he was so excited. I've never heard him so excited. He just was like, "Wait a minute, did he play? He didn't play Tapioca Tundra, did he?" I said, "Well, yeah, he did." He goes, "Oh my God, he played that! I can't wait! I'm good." He's like, "I might wet my pants." I mean, he's seeing them tonight in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And he's like a massive Monkee fan. Anybody that knows his work knows that they pop up in, was it Marvel's or Kingdom Come? Kingdom Come, I think they show up in a scene.
Do they?
They're in the background as their superhero counterparts from the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got loads of Easter eggs in his stuff, like Badfinger in there and loads of people that he loves.
Maybe someday the two of us, huh?
I know. I keep asking. Believe me. He's been working on my portrait for a long, long time. So that should be fun. I'll have a full report when we come back.
That's nice.
Yeah.
One thing we keep gets bumped from the list, but we should mention, and I think we've had it on for about 3 weeks now, is that a deal was signed and San Diego Comic-Con is staying in San Diego.
Woo!
I guess I should say Comic-Con International is staying in San Diego.
Woo-hoo!
Through 2016.
Right. And it's now, it's been threatened for a while to go away or go someplace else.
There have been a lot of other places courting it, and just recently their contract had come up for renegotiation. So
I had heard Vegas, I had heard
Anaheim.
I had heard Anaheim.
Yeah, there's a lot of places, you know, places that have really large convention centers, larger than what is in place in San Diego currently, and places with lots of hotel rooms.
Mm. They really need to keep it. They need to keep it in a warm climate, I think. I think people really like that coming to California to go to this thing from all parts of the country.
Well, Vegas would certainly be a warm climate.
Vegas would be a warm climate, but, you know, no one would ever show up for the panels. They'll be getting hammered or eating the free buffets. That's cool. That's good news.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're expanding the convention center once again, but that's still going to take them a few years. So,
yeah.
As we've seen the past 3 years, I think, the convention has spilled out past the convention center, where it's all in all the large ballrooms of all of the surrounding hotels.
All the panels and things.
Yeah. And press conferences, that's where those end up being usually. And spilled out somewhat into the gas lamp district, too. There's usually some people find some spaces there that they can make their little hideaways and invite people in. So, yeah, kind of cool.
That's cool.
It's good for us.
Good for us because we live in
LA. A short little jaunt, yeah.
You know, we can still get down there.
Yeah.
The craziness.
So
that's cool.
So
the holidays are coming up.
Yes, they are.
By the time people are hearing this, it's Thanksgiving week. And then, you know, some people celebrate Christmas. That's coming up afterwards.
Well, actually, today I started listening to my first Christmas album.
No.
Yeah.
Really? You do that before?
Well, like I mentioned last week, there's the Jonathan Colton Christmas album.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got the code for the download last night.
Right.
And so, you know, I was flying back from San Francisco, but today I burned it and listened to it.
Yeah, I always feel like it used to, I seem to remember as a kid, it used to not happen until after Thanksgiving, that there'd be music and trees and things like that at the stores. And now it's happening like right after Halloween.
Well, it's happening before Halloween. It's happening concurrent with Halloween.
I kind of don't want to do that until after Thanksgiving.
Well, you don't have to, but I'm sure the stores, you know, the retailers have put, you know, they've got studies and algorithms and all that where it's like, oh, people. Yeah. And that might have something to do with the economy, you know, in that
you
have to kind of spread it around.
Right.
You know, instead of having one big chunk.
Because the economy's
crap. Start early.
Yeah, well, we got a kind of an interesting little early Christmas present, if
Tell
you will.
Me.
Speaking of music, Neil Finn, who is one of my musical heroes.
Yep.
I have loved his stuff since Split Enz, since before Crowded House.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, you know, very vaguely who Split Enz were from New Zealand. He is buddies with Peter Jackson.
Yep.
Peter Jackson got a hold of him to write a song for the closing credits of The Hobbit.
Yes, the first Hobbit.
The first.
It's Unexpected Journey.
Unexpected Journey that comes out Christmas time, December 14th. And it just went online a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, what's it called?
The Song of Big Thunder Mountain. Song of the Lonely Mountain.
Song of the Lonely Mountain, yeah. And it's
Big Thunder Mountain.
It has, you know, it's a great, it's very, very much in keeping with the films. It
mm-hmm.
feels like it belongs in these movies. But I would listen to him, you know, sing the phone book. I just love him as a songwriter. But it actually, have you listened to it at all?
I've listened to the minute and 30-second preview.
It's got little bits and shades of some of the stuff from the Rankin Bass TV Hobbit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it kind of feels like,
which is what I wanted. You know,
yeah.
That's those are the songs in my mind.
There
was
a little bit of that thrown in, so I thought that was fun. Anything that brings him to a larger audience, I'm happy about. Although it is one of those things where he's such a not a household name that it's always been a secret handshake for me with other people. That you kind of want to keep it to yourself.
Oh, now he's sold out? Is that it?
No, not that. You just
okay.
I don't necessarily want him to be. Like, in New Zealand, he is a national treasure in New Zealand and Australia. He
okay.
really is.
Yeah.
But here, it's still very much cult. But you almost don't want him to be, you know, at the Oscars. But then I do, because I want him to get more notoriety and
right.
more respect. He's very, very well respected. But just
are you saying people didn't learn his name from when he put She Will Have Her Way on Sports Night?
Well, he also did, he covered I Can See Clearly Now in Ants,
the
animated movie Ants, which never made it onto the soundtrack, which
That's
was
weird.
Very strange. It was only on like a CD single from New Zealand that you could get it.
So that along with his song, Empire Magazine, just for a couple of days, I think it ended yesterday, they were streaming the whole soundtrack. You could listen to a preview of all Howard Shore's soundtrack of the movie.
And he did all the other ones, right?
That's right. Yeah, so the Neil Finn song is available like right now on iTunes. You can buy it.
You can buy it, yeah.
And you can pre-order the full soundtrack album,
okay. which,
the orchestral music and such. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So hooray for that. Let's talk about...
one thing I wanted to bring up real quick that I did not mention in my discussion of Argo.
Yes.
It's just kind of like a little Easter egg.
Better not be a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler.
Gonna... be upset.
It's not a spoiler, but if you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't quite know what was happening. But there's a moment where a guy in, you know, a little red shirt shows up and shows some storyboards to Ben Affleck's character, saying, you know, here's something you can show your investors. And he's like, oh, great, I'll take these. And one of the storyboards kind of plays a part through the rest of the film.
Uh-huh.
But the guy in the red shirt is Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby had a hand in this.
So it was an actor playing
heist.
Jack
That's right.
Kirby.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Which also means that there's some original Jack Kirby artwork, like in the government files.
It could be.
So someone's
maybe
got
those. Will get released.
Yeah.
You know, he in the mid '70s, Paul McCartney wrote a song called "Magneto and Titanium Man."
Mm-hmm.
When it was Paul McCartney and Wings. And there's an amazing couple of shots backstage at like a Madison Square Garden concert in like 76, I think, where Jack Kirby is backstage with Paul and Linda, and he's giving them a piece of art that he's drawn of the band with Paul and Linda in front as like superheroes. It's very Kirby-esque.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an original, and he's handing it off to McCartney.
Oh, cool.
It's very, very cool. Yeah.
Because
McCartney used to do these big, when Wings toured in the '70s, they had these huge screens behind them, mm-hmm. and there would be Kirby artwork of Magneto up when they played that song.
Yeah, but it's kind of an Easter egg, just in that they never call him Jack, they never make reference to what he does or anything like that. Mm. But I knew about it going in, so I was kind of waiting for it. But
cool. They
mention, in the credits when it goes by, that guy is Jack Kirby, so Affleck's just kind of fun
big,
to kind of
big comic guy.
Yeah,
so that's
just kind of fun, I think.
Yeah, that is fun. Speaking of things to sort of be excited about,
yes.
A couple of things. A new documentary that I meant to talk about earlier, but just saw, and I cannot recommend enough.
Okay.
It is about a guy called Wayne White, an artist, and it's called Beauty is Embarrassing.
Okay.
And Wayne White is one of these guys, even if you don't know who he is or you don't recognize him, you will have seen his work and you'll know who he is. Because he was one of the puppeteers on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He did the voices of the dog, the blue dog that was like playing the upright bass and the floor. And who was the mean puppet? Hey, Pee-wee, get over here. He was Randy or whatever. He did all those voices. He's a puppeteer. He did stuff in like Peter Gabriel videos, Smashing Pumpkin videos, whatever. But he's an artist, a sculptor. He's just kind of a Renaissance guy, and this is an incredible documentary about this guy and his creativity. He's from the South, and you can go to the site and just download it for like $7 and watch it on your laptop. But people like Matt Groening and Paul Rubens and Mark Mothersbaugh are all in there talking about this guy, and how influential he's been. One of the things he does is he'll take like thrift store art.
Mm-hmm.
The horrible stuff he's finding in motels, and he will draw words on the piece of art, like a phrase,
right.
or just a swear word or something, and in very sort of 3D kind of letters. He
just
works
like the Perez Hilton of the art world?
No, I wouldn't say that. But it's a really interesting story because he's just such a kook, and just the stuff that he's into. He's one of the freaks that seems to have made it and kind of risen, who he's influenced. And then the story of just coming from this very kind of redneck, area, which he says himself, hillbilly kind of area.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of moments that are just very heartwarming with his family, that the parents never understood this kid. He was always weird, always drawing strange things. And then he's got this level of success, and he's married. His kids are now artists. It's a great documentary. But for anybody that's knows Pee-wee's Playhouse and what a revolutionary show that was,
right.
This guy was one of the driving forces creatively, with the design and the creatures and things like that.
Okay.
And it's a very, very cool cool piece. He's very kind of rock and roll. This guy, kind of manic.
And what website did you say?
I believe you can just go to Wayne White or beautyisembarrassing.com.
Okay.
It's like a site that's been set up for the documentary.
Okay.
And through that, I think you can order it on DVD, and you can order limited edition prints and things like that as well. But it's very cool. I think you'd get a kick out of it.
Nice.
It's right up your alley.
Up my alley.
Paul Rubens sitting down talking about stuff is kind of cool, and how cool that show was.
But speaking of other things you watched, you finally saw Amazing Spider-Man, right?
I did.
On the popular DVD Blu-ray format?
And I really enjoyed it.
What?
I did. I thought it was great. I had some quibbles, of course.
Yes.
But, I am one of those people. I did not like Tobey Maguire in the part.
Oh, really?
I don't think he's a very good actor. I thought he was kind of wrong for Spider-Man, to be honest with you.
Huh.
The third one is one of the most atrocious things that anyone's ever had to sit through.
Yeah.
The second one is wonderful.
Yes.
First one is good. But I think this is a good reboot. I thought I thought the stuff with Gwen Stacy's dad was great, and mm-hmm. the way they kind of changed that from the comic. And she was great. And, I had some problems with it. I mean, it seemed to jump around a bit, sort of.
Okay, yeah.
But it was almost kind of refreshing that it didn't take a certain path. Like, all of a sudden, there's the lizard on the bridge from above.
Right.
We don't even see the transformation. We don't even know what happened. He's just there. And it's kind of like, oh, well, maybe we don't need to see that stuff anymore.
Right.
Like,
you fill that in.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of like that. I feel like it's a good start to kind of go someplace. You didn't like it?
I did like it.
Oh, you did like it?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
No, I thought it was a good job. I thought they had really good chemistry.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
It was just fun.
Yeah,
so.
he was good, and still don't love the suit. I still don't think it's a great Spider-Man suit.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, there are moments where there are bits of dialogue that are so silly that you have to just go with it. You have to realize you're watching a, you know, it's like, I'm sending out an alert right now for the masked vigilante known as Spider-Man. You know, how anyone in the reporters couldn't crack up laughing. You know what I mean? It's just silly.
Yeah.
But you just go with it.
Right.
And it works. And I thought Martin Sheen was a kind of dead on for Uncle Ben.
Oh, yeah.
From the old comic, you know?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm sorry that I waited so long, but I got it and I dug it.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah, I liked it. Nice. And there was something else that I saw. Oh, Skyfall.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, it's a new James Bond movie.
Who?
Yeah. Character's been around for quite a while.
Not ringing a bell.
Probably not that familiar.
No.
I saw that as well.
Yes.
And I know our audience has been dying to know what I thought of that.
Yes.
I really liked it.
Surprise.
Not necessarily. I didn't love Quantum of Solace. I thought it was kind of a missed opportunity. I thought Casino
Royale
was great.
Was that second one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that one just sort of seemed like the extra footage from the first one.
Yeah.
It was like a continuation. Like, oh, and by the way.
They tried to do something different and say we're going to make a direct sequel to the previous Bond film, which had never been done before.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, you know, there are two schools of thought that the villain should be kind of larger than life,
mm-hmm.
or the villain should just be the creepy guy sitting behind a desk working a, you know, computer or something. That's kind of what we got in Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, was just definitely threatening and menacing, but not larger than life. Well,
yeah.
They kind of bring larger than life into this one,
right,
with Javier Bardem, and I love him anyway.
Brendo.
He's great in it. It tries to go in different directions. Sometimes it doesn't go far enough. I didn't love the climax. And I do have some quibbles. But I think it's...
You seem to have a lot of quibbles this week.
Well, it's not perfect. I mean, it's they're calling it the best in the series. And it's...
Right.
That's not the case.
In your opinion.
In my opinion. It's very good. But, you know, for me, you can take all the Brosnan movies and just put them in the dumpster. I thought those were a waste of time. There's a lot of good stuff in it. And they are setting up the pattern that used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to the end, you kind of go, oh, this is starting to feel like the patterns of the 70s.
Okay.
All these other characters are kind of falling into place and certain traditions are coming back, and that's kind of welcome. It's time to bring it back home, I think.
I see.
And I think you'd enjoy it.
Okay.
So yeah, so there's my review of Skyfall.
Very nice. Yes. Very nice.
What you got for me?
Well, it was announced, speaking of movie bits, it was just announced this past week that when The Hobbit comes out in December in, I think it's 500 IMAX theaters,
right,
they're going to also show us the first 9 minutes of Star Trek Into Darkness.
I know.
So
say it again. First 9 minutes
Star
of what?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
What's it called?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
It just doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it?
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Star Trek Into Darkness. What are you going to do?
There's no punctuation.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
Star Trek Into Darkness. Not Star Trek.
Into Darkness.
Into Darkness.
No, it's you're Star Trekking into the
Darkness. Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
It's like going into the bathroom.
Yes.
Or closing the library door. Trekking into darkness.
Yes.
That was a War song, wasn't it? Remember War? Cisco Kid by War?
Yeah.
Cisco Kid. They had a song called Slipping Into Darkness. Wasn't that War, I think?
I don't know.
They should use that as one of the themes.
Yes, they should.
Slipping Into Darkness.
So that's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah,
for those
that's
of us
cool.
that got to see, you know, like the sneaks of the Batman movies before other films in IMAX. Pretty cool. So
I might do that. Nine minutes might be cool. I'm not a big IMAX guy. But I would do that to see some of that, because I'm really excited about to see where they go with the new Star Trek.
Yeah, because they've been so tight-lipped about this new film.
Speaking of, my wife works for NBC. She's a
yes
certain position there at NBC. Was having a meeting about Revolution,
mm-hmm.
and Abrams was going to be there.
Okay,
but she was just telling me, like, it was either on the phone. I forget if we were in the car, it was on the phone, or she just kind of said this as an aside. She goes, "Yeah, but Abrams can't. They're so busy with that Star Trek movie, that Star Trek 2." And I just the phrase, just that moment, I was like, "Whoa, he can't make it to the meeting because they're so busy with Star Trek II.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of cool. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow, like just a little tidbit of information. Like, they're really knee-deep in this thing.
Yeah.
And I read a quick interview with Chris Pine where they were saying, well, does it set something up for the third one? And does it set... And he goes, I'm not smart enough to even know how much that is in this, but he said, I can tell you it's just nonstop. He says it's just... It's epic and just...
Wow.
Kind of balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very... It's going to be very cool, I think.
Did you see that... I think it was... Was it on Jimmy Kimmel? Or was it on Jimmy Fallon? It was on one of the late night talk shows.
Mm.
It might have been Conan, now that I'm thinking about it, where J.J. Abrams showed up and he said he was going to show a clip from the film because they've been so tight-lipped.
Oh, no.
And then and they literally showed 3 frames.
Ah.
And that was it.
That's funny.
Yeah. Just like everyone's like, ah!
That's
and it was
funny.
Just like...
He... did you like Pine? Did you like what he did with the...
Yeah, I thought that was fine.
I did, too. Yeah. I think he's kind of...
I really
think he's
going to
be something.
One.
You know what I mean? He's. I like that he's not conventionally handsome. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, and he's not doing Shatner.
He's not doing Shatner, which would have been such a mistake.
Yeah.
It's okay for Bones. You know, it's mm-hmm. okay for what's his name, do McCoy a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's no way to do Shatner.
Right.
You know, and make that work.
Yeah.
Speaking of my wife, she'll kill me for saying this, but she thinks that he looks like a baby Brontosaurus.
Who does? Which
Chris,
one?
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine looks like a little brontosaurus?
His little face. He looks like a little
okay.
little baby dinosaur, brontosaurus.
Hmm. All right.
That little nose, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah. Cute. Like a cute baby brontosaurus.
So one thing I think we need to bring up just to put some people's hearts and minds at ease.
What?
And maybe you have some insight from this from your wife, maybe you don't, but now that Animal Practice is canceled, what happens to Crystal the monkey?
Well, you know, she's got that law practice.
She has a law practice to fall back on?
She defends...
So a degree.
She defends animals that have been fired from jobs.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Discrimination.
Yeah.
So she'll be
fine. I think that'll... Okay.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Something to fall back on. I think we'll keep a lot of people, you know...
You know, as always, she'll probably show up in the third Hangover. I'm sure they'll find a way to squeeze her into that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because, you know, that'll make so much narrative sense.
She's a long-running character. Hey, I got something in the mail.
You did?
Yeah.
I got something
for
you, too. What is it?
Well, I'll show you. Hold on a second.
You've got a big envelope. You're opening it up. It's a book.
It's the new Star Wars Ultimate Action Figure Collection book by Steve Sansweet.
I heard of him.
Yeah. It's giant, as you can see. It is... How many pages is this bad boy? Let's see here. Are the pages numbered? Yes. 351.
What?
And it is all Star Wars figures ever made.
All the time.
By Kenner, from the classic all the way up to... 2012.
Right.
Mean, it's, and they are alphabetical.
So let's see. Open it up. Show me like a... Pick right. a random character. And
all right.
How does it...
There's a lot of clones.
So it's like design work.
There's all
and
Darth Vader.
All the different Vaders that have been done.
Yeah. There's like 4 pages of Vaders.
Wow.
So what it doesn't have, what I would have liked to have seen, but it would have made the book twice as big...
What's that?
...is showing the different cards...
Packaging,
...and the
yeah.
packaging.
And so
there's, not a lot of that, but I get that. I get why they didn't do that.
I feel like,
that
again, like with the prequels, there's so much wasted time with... Like there's a whole chunk of the 90s that people collected, I think, and then now it's just like they don't even care about.
Yeah.
All those green cards and orange cards and...
Oh, yeah.
The initial couple of years
the
of
beefy,
stuff.
The original beefy characters.
Yeah, like,
of
you
95,
couldn't give any of that
96,
stuff
96, yeah.
And it's all just terrible, you know.
But this is great, because it shows every character, every version of it, tells you which card it came out on, gives you each thing has a description of the character, a little tidbit, and it's got them with all their accessories.
Oh.
So for those of us that have a billion of these things, and it's like, who does this lightsaber go with?
Now you keep track of it.
Yeah, now you can keep track of it. So it's a great book. You know, Steve Sansweet is the authority on all things Star Wars, we know. He did it in conjunction with Hasbro.
Right.
And also the guys from Rebel Scum provided, like,
okay.
Dan Curto and stuff.
Now, do you have all these figures loose somewhere?
Yes.
And do you have them, like, bagged so you know what weapons go with what? Or do you have them, like, in cases?
Right now, it kind of depends. I've got, if Because some of them are like in big groups. Like I've got all my Jabba's Palace guys together
right.
to put up on a shelf.
Right.
And so whoever's in that bag, there's a separate smaller bag that has all of the accessories of the guys in there.
Gotcha.
So it's sort of grouped by that.
Gotcha.
So, but here, you can flip through it. It's but really cool.
Do you have the most of what's in here? Like
yes, I do.
So you have every... You get all the expanded universe and all the... You know, Dash Rendar and,
yep.
you know...
If I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's got all the Clone Wars stuff in there, too, and I don't
But if there's
have,
a Jango Fett, you get every Jango Fett?
Not necessarily every single one. Like, I don't buy every multi-pack,
like,
you
good
know.
Lord, look at this. There's, like, 12 different Jango Fetts.
Yeah. But if, it, you know, they when they were doing, like, that Build-A-Droid thing, I'm a sucker for droids, so...
I've heard that
know, I had to buy some, you know, oh, great, I have another... Count Dooku or whatever.
A droid fetish.
Yes, for my
See,
droid
like, do we
fetish.
Need figures of Jason Solo and Jannik Sunbed?
Well, why not?
I don't know. I don't know who the hell they are. And then there was a figure that I saw recently that on a card. It was an expanded universe. It was like a skull. It was like a guy with a skull.
Yeah, one of the Sith guys in the big black outfit.
Yeah, but he was like a skull face. And he sort of, I think he came from a comic book
yeah.
series or something.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know he even existed. I didn't know it was...
Should get out more. Should
really
read, broaden that mind.
I think I can get by just fine without having known that. Look at all the little Padawans.
Okay.
Jack Porkins.
Yep.
I didn't know they made a Porkins.
They did.
Look at that. It's about time he
yeah,
got.
There's a second one out, I think, now. He's in that Toys R Us pack.
Now Porkins was played by an actor...
Yes.
Whose name
all the people were played by actors.
What? No, not necessarily. Whose name was?
Gerald McCraney.
His brother, Chip McCraney. William Hootkins.
Okay.
And he has the distinction of being in Star Wars, of being in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He was one of the two government guys that come to see him
yep.
at the beginning and the end. And he was also in Flash Gordon, one of my favorites. He was Zarkov's assistant at the beginning of Flash Gordon.
Oh,
and
okay. yes.
he was also in Batman, the first Burton Batman. He was Eckhart, the dirty cop.
The dirty cop, yeah.
Yeah. So he's got a really cool pedigree. For,
a nice little resume.
For geek stuff, don't
yes.
you think?
Sure.
He's gone now. He's passed
what?
Away. Yeah, he passed away. But what an icon, huh?
That's right.
Chubby icon.
So yeah, that's cool.
Well,
that's,
speaking of things,
so that's
you've
out.
Got,
you know, if you want to, you know, put that on your Amazon wish list and stuff,
sure.
I'll link to it in the thing because it's really cool.
I'll put
and
it
if
on
you're
my
a Star
wish
Wars
list
fan, because there was another book that came out that was kind of like that.
I think I have the other one.
That
was
great. Yeah,
it's
but it
silver.
Stops at it. Yeah,
right. And
it just stops at a certain time because it's a book. It's
I think
fine,
I have that
so.
One. Yeah, and I've yeah. also got the one that is kind of smaller and thick, and it's like 1001. Star Wars collectibles or something that
oh,
he did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of cool because
yeah.
he's got a lot of stuff in there from that period I love between 77 and 80, that mm-hmm. weird Japanese stuff and crazy Takara stuff.
Yeah.
So you brought some stuff last week that you found or you ordered from Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I found a little something that just came out that I'm very excited about. Look at that.
Oh, the two-pack of Captain America and the Falcon and Marvel Universe.
Marvel Universe, Marvel's Greatest Battles comic packs. It's
just talking about your love of the Falcon.
70s era Captain America and the Falcon.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
That's very cool.
You know? And I think, I mean, the cap we've gotten a few times.
Yep.
But it's a repaint to look like the comic. And then...
Because he's got like a little gradation on his shield there.
Yeah, and I think the Falcon, I think, is the one that came out on its own. But again, they're repaints to look like the book, and it comes
yeah.
with a classic issue.
I don't. Did he come
I
with
love.
That little falcon that clips on his
he did
wrist
come,
last time?
I don't know if it's the same bird, but he did come with it.
Okay.
And I think the wings that the original one came with were clear, and this one is a solid kind of thing.
Kind of solid red.
But
yeah.
We just talked about how much I love those. I didn't even know that was
yeah.
coming out.
Yeah.
So I was very excited about that.
That's nice.
And the other one is Doctor Strange and the Silver Surfer.
That's right. And where'd you find these guys, Target?
I found it at a comic shop.
Oh, okay.
On Melrose.
Nice.
For just a few bucks more
very
than...
Handsome. Yeah, I saw the new wave of Marvel Universe at a local comic shop the other day.
Now, what is the new wave?
The newest one has She-Hulk.
Oh, I've seen
the
that.
The white
no,
Spider-Man.
Yes.
And with the variant Fantastic Four, Baghead Spider-Man.
Yep.
There's a new Punisher. Who else is in
there? Kraven the Hunter. Is that
Kraven
the same
is in
assortment?
That one? I think
there's
so.
A new
yeah.
Hulk. There's a new Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I and
well, that's the wave right before the Hulk and Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, right before. Yeah. Okay, because I think I've seen the White Spidey.
Okay.
And the Punisher. I've
yeah.
seen. So that's cool. That's going to keep going for a bit. Or is it going back to 6-inch now or something?
No, they're just going to run them concurrently.
Oh, they're going to do both?
Yeah, they'll run them side
okay.
by side. Yep.
And have you seen anything from this 3¾-inch Doctor Who announcement?
I haven't seen anything else
any
on that yet.
Photos yet?
No, not yet.
This is very distressing.
What's
I'm seeing
wrong?
A little piece of news here about something going away, and I'm finding it hard to believe.
Oh.
You want to break this story?
Well, I think a lot of people will know about it by now, but the Hostess company going bankrupt.
What?
So that means no Twinkies, no Ho-Hos, no... I think they bought Dolly Madison out, too, didn't they?
They
so
did,
they had, like,
yeah,
Zingers.
They had Zingers. How is that possible? We are the fattest country in the world.
Fruit pies.
What are we doing wrong here?
I don't know.
We're letting Hostess
the kids
down.
Today.
I'm buying that crap.
Wait a minute.
But Hostess is completely bankrupt. They're done? They're done?
That's what I'm hearing.
No one's going to come in and... save this stuff?
I hope they will. It's an American treasure.
I mean,
like,
it's bad enough we
that's
lost
gonna, what are? How are kids going to know what Egon's talking about in Ghostbusters?
Exactly.
You know?
It's
going to
be like a Fatty Arbuckle joke.
That's right, yes.
How are we going to...
And crime will run rampant.
I know.
If the heroes aren't teaming up with Fruit Pie the Magician and Twinkie
well,
the Kid.
That's the thing. All those characters seem to have disappeared. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where... You know, remember those great ads in the comic books?
In the back of every single comic.
Yeah.
For,
you know...
10 years.
The Hulk helping, you know, bust a crime wave, fruit pies or something.
Yeah.
But we had all the there
King
was Twinkie
Ding
the Kid.
Yeah, wasn't there King Ding Dong?
Well, he was... I think it was was it Captain Cupcake or something? He was a military guy, right? Didn't he have a hat?
They
I
all
think.
Had hats, didn't
well,
they?
Well, Twinkie the Kid, and then...
Fruit Pie the Magician.
Fruit Pie the Magician. See, I forgot about that. And then, was there a Ho-Ho? Was he somebody?
I don't remember a Ho-Ho.
Or was she just tricking?
What? You
just
female went there.
Character? So all those characters are gone.
Yeah. So that's troubling
that's
to
very,
me.
That's very troubling.
I'm Look, as soon as we're done, I'm going to go buy up a bunch because they got a shelf life of 20 years.
Exactly.
And
it's
going to be like rationing them out.
I'm not saying you should eat this stuff every day. You
well,
know, to moderation.
Every
but
so often.
Exactly. Nothing wrong
Delicious.
With that. That's what makes us Americans.
And they were making like 100-calorie ones. I mean, come on. You can't tell me.
How could Hostess go bankrupt?
I don't know.
To me, that's like saying McDonald's is in trouble. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any
sense. I don't
know.
I'm hoping there's some sort of stimulus package being worked on by top men right now.
That's probably what they're meeting about right now.
Yeah. That is my great wish.
It has nothing to do with heading toward the cliff.
No.
It's got to do
with... There's your fiscal cliff right there.
Hostess.
We're running out of ho-hos?
Yeah, no kidding.
There's
going to
be rioting in the streets.
That's very distressing.
I'm very distressed about
it. It makes me feel very old. That's suddenly this thing that... Like you say, you
staple.
Well, when you just
staple.
Made a Ghostbusters comment, it's like, oh my god! Like we, if you think about how much stuff has gone in our lifetimes,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like we weren't around for the beginning of black and white television, but we had a black and white television in the house.
Oh sure,
you know, vinyl, cassettes, CDs, VHS, Beta, Laserdisc, you know, all the stuff that's
common sense,
technologies, common sense that are gone. You just said that thing about Ghostbusters. I thought, my God, that's the Twinkie was around forever.
Yeah.
And now that joke is going to make no sense if
no
there's
sense.
No more Twinkies. Someone's got to pick up the slack.
You like, would hope so.
Like Whole Foods.
Right. That's your savior?
They should buy Hostess and make all wholesome treats.
Mm, those sound delicious.
You know, made of wheatgrass.
With a shelf life of about 8 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's distressing.
It's
Everybody go out and
sad.
Do your part. Buy some Hostess.
Well, is it too late? Do we start a petition? What do we do? How do we rally?
I don't know. I got to do some more research on this story because I can't believe that it's the nail is in the coffin, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm very troubled. I'm very troubled.
That's hard to believe. So I'm going to go out and get some right now when we're done with this.
Okay.
What else you got going on?
I was going to mention a little bit of video game movie casting. They just announced that Tom Hardy, who was Bane
yes.
in Dark Knight Rises, he's going to star in the Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell movie.
Okay.
And then just a little while ago, they announced that Michael Fassbender will be the lead in the Assassin's Creed films.
And
and I believe also a producer on that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Hardy is also, there's supposed to be a Mad Max movie. It's been talked about forever.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about that lately.
But they're filming it.
Are they filming it now?
I'm pretty sure, because there were shots on like Ain't It Cool News a few weeks ago, or like a couple months ago, of, you know, kind of the car and some set stuff.
Really?
And a synopsis went out from Frank Miller, not Frank Miller, George Miller.
George Miller.
So I think it's still happening, but okay. Man, he's been attached to that thing for years.
Yeah, yeah.
So I hope, I kind of hope it happens. I like him. I like Hardy. I think he's pretty good. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And you like Fassbender as well.
I do, yeah.
He's how about good. The fact that, this is a bit of information I just read, and I don't know how accurate this is, but I thought it was very cool, that Guillermo del Toro is talking to Warner Brothers about this DC project called Heaven Sent. And it has to do with a group of sort of supernatural DC characters, like what's his name? Constantine,
yeah.
Deadman,
Spectre,
the Spectre, Zatanna.
Uh-huh.
All there's like 8 or 9 characters that supposedly would be in this launch that he is discussing with them.
But as a feature.
As a feature called Heaven Sent.
That'd be interesting.
And I don't know how true that is.
Yeah.
Apparently he wants to do it. It's could be just a crazy rumor, but I love the idea. Again, it seems to be DC is like, you know, how did you say it? Doing the reverse
engineering.
Reverse engineering.
Yeah.
If they did a movie like that and it worked and everybody was crazy about, you know, Deadman, that they'd suddenly go off and make a Deadman movie. Same thing with the Justice League movie if it happens.
Right.
Getting all those characters together.
So would we see Keanu Reeves as John Constantine again?
I think it would be a complete reboot.
Oh, come on.
Just like Green Lantern. You probably won't see what's-his-name playing GL again.
Because
that was such a great opportunity for that. You knew that wasn't going to work, and you knew the toys weren't going to work, because it was just, like I said from the beginning, it's just a green motif.
Yeah.
You go down the aisle, everything is green. No kid wants every character to look the same.
Well, I think, you know, if there had been more with the other characters, if we'd actually seen the Green Lantern Corps in action.
Had it been better as well, maybe, yeah. but also it's just like, you really, kids, if they wanted the stuff, even collectors, you really had to go up and look at the thing.
Yeah.
To know what the character was, because they looked, every one of them looked the same.
They were all green, but they were all different shapes.
But that's
and
what I mean. Like, it was just, everything
races.
Was green. The vehicles were green. The toy, the role play was green. The packaging was green. The characters were green. It was just like green, green, green grass of home, sort of. So one other thing I wanted to talk about that came out a while back and I picked up, and it's a Beatle thing again. But it's a really fascinating book called The John Lennon Letters.
Okay.
And they put this hardback book out that, is it Ray Coleman? No, Ray...
Stevens.
Yeah, Ray Stevens, who wrote The Streak.
Yes, he did.
Compiled these letters.
And Guitar Zan.
Oh, I'm crazy for not remembering who wrote the autobiography in 68 of the Beatles.
No one cares.
But, yes, they do. People
no,
care. Yeah,
they
do.
Don't.
They
nope.
do. There are people that care about what I have to say, as a matter of fact. I don't know if you know that, but...
Yeah, but
we're
at some
legs.
Point you're like my grandpa, where you're like, we're not going to move on with the story until I remember the guy's name.
No, that's not true. I just want to make sure that people know that the first name is Ray and that I haven't forgotten. Something like a putz.
See, never forget Ray.
So it's a really cool book that he edited with, you know, this again is this era that's pre-internet and pre-email and Twitter and everything else. What, you know, you wonder what John Lennon would have been like in the Twitter universe. You know, or having a website or whatever, what he would own, because he really was sort of out there and always for the spotlight, but really was constantly talking about what they were up to and, and talking about peace and using their notoriety for getting stuff that they were into sort of out there. Anyway, this book is correspondence from postcards, pre-Beatles, you know, during the Beatles and afterwards. To letters that he would write to the NME if he didn't like an article or a review that was written, or he wanted to argue about Todd Rundgren or whatever it was. And it's really interesting to just see, you know, when he would sit down and put pen to paper or get on a typewriter and send these letters off.
Yeah.
And there's a nice story behind the letters as well, where, you know, they had to track a lot of this stuff down. Because over the years, it got into private collections.
Oh, sure.
Trying to figure out who had this stuff, when they picked it up, how it got into their hands. And there's nice little stories about that stuff, too. So,
oh, that's cool.
It's kind of, everything has been said almost about the Beatles you can think of. They're still writing books about them, but this is kind of a cool little footnote to one of the members. And shed some light on what the life was like, you know, in the 70s before he died.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I'm very, very interested.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's a cool piece.
All right.
What about Christmas catalogs? What were you going to say about that?
Well, it's just, you know, I've been getting the new catalogs in. You know,
right.
Target puts out a toy catalog.
Oh, I didn't know
Toys
that.
R Us does their big book every year.
Yeah.
They come to your house, you know, in the mail.
In the mail?
In the mail.
What is this?
But they just—they don't, you know. They don't have that same grab as, you know, you think about like the JCPenney's,
sure,
the Montgomery Ward's, the Sears, and just, you know, how we would all get those and just pour over them.
Sure. Well, you know what the difference is?
Tell me.
The difference is, back then...
That's how you found out about stuff.
Exactly. That, for a lot of that stuff, that was the first time we would see images of those characters.
Yeah.
That we even knew they were... The first time I ever knew there was a Bespin Han Solo figure was seeing it in a Sears catalog.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't find it on the shelf. I saw it there and I thought, oh, they're making a new one. Because I thought... Because it was people don't remember this, but like when Empire came out, before it came out, the first batch of figures was Han Solo in the Hoth outfit. You know, Luke wasn't even in that first batch of like eight figures. I don't think the Hoth.
No, we got the Hoth trooper.
Got the Hoth trooper, right? We didn't get Hoth Luke. So the Han was there, and you thought, well, is this going to be the Han for Empire? Are they ever going to make another one? Because it was a long time until they made Bespin Han with the jacket. So you thought, well, you're never going to get it. And then I remember seeing it in that catalog, and it might have been like the...
I think we did get Bespin Luke, though.
We got Bespin Luke. Yeah, we got the Luke, batch,
yeah.
And then we got the Hoth Luke
was way later.
After that.
Yeah.
But the Bespin Han, I thought, well, they're never going to make him. And then I saw it. I think it might have been... It might have been the Sears, the cardboard...
Bespin freeze, carbon freeze chamber.
Yeah. And I saw that figure, and I thought, ooh, he's going to come out. So I think that's the difference, is like, for a lot of that stuff, that's the first time we ever saw it in those catalogs. And it was in color, too.
Yeah.
You know, you really went, ooh, I got to get this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You would take it and you'd circle it.
Yeah.
And you'd just circle whatever you want, and you'd get, like, you know, maybe...
The wrong strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't remember, you know, ever getting much from Sears. Toy-wise. I remember getting some stuff, but it was more like to circle it and go, that's out there. I got to look for it.
Oh, you're talking about going physically to a Sears or ordering?
Or ordering. We didn't do much of that.
Oh, yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we didn't do much
of
that.
We totally did that.
It was mostly Target. I mean, Target really was on every street corner.
Yeah, for us, there was Target. The catalogs you get were Target, JCPenney, Montgomery Ward, and Service Merchandise were the ones you could order toys from.
See, I don't remember a Target catalog.
Did I say Target?
Yeah.
Sears, Montgomery Ward, JCPenney, and Service Merchandise.
And then how long before you left toys and went to the underwear section for the ladies?
Oh, yeah, you know, you'd have to find the toys because they were in the back, so you'd flip through that first.
Oh, what's this?
Yeah, it's just on the way.
Bra and panty section? Why is that open?
I better take a look here.
That was our pre-porn.
Pre-porn?
Pre-Playboy. That was a gateway. The Sears catalog was a gateway drug to Playboy.
Did you keep them under your bed? Oh, no, I'm just looking at the toys,
Mom. No, I'm for the toys.
I'm reading about Bespin Han.
Close the door, please.
Nice.
Very exciting. Well, yeah, it's not the same. But then again, you're also 40. So
that's true. That's true.
There is that. Yeah. Some of that excitement when you were 9.
Yeah, but I have a 9-year-old, and she's, you know, not pouring over stuff and circling it. So
does she care about toys as much as the other 9-year-olds? What is she into?
What is she into? That's a very good question. She's into music.
Oh, that's cool.
And apps.
Music and apps for her phone.
Yeah.
So what kind of phone does she have?
She doesn't have a phone, actually. She has an iTouch.
Okay. And that is a...
It's an
pad?
iPhone that you can't make calls.
Oh, really?
With. Yeah.
Well, that's cool, because she shouldn't have a phone.
No, I don't
right?
need her to have a
phone. I mean, unless it's like an emergency or
that's
something.
That's right.
So app and music and no... Not into toys at all?
Well, it's funny because recently I came to the realization about a month ago or so that we had never really sat down, like, built a Lego thing before. She certainly played with Legos, but never, like, busted out a kit with the instructions and putting stuff together.
Okay.
And it was right around Halloween because I got some of those little sets like Target had and stuff. So I told her, like, hey, you know, why don't you try this out, and she loved it.
Oh,
and
cool.
We went on a bender for about 2 weeks of just buying Lego kits and putting them together.
Okay.
And just she loved that sort of thing.
Okay.
So it made me feel a little bit like a, and I said to her, I was like, I feel like a bad dad that we've never sat down and done this. She's like, it's okay, Dad, we're doing it now.
She's like, it's okay, Dad, you're doing your best.
You're doing your best.
How could you have known? But that's cool. So she.
It is cool. So she, she was really digging on Lego and putting that stuff together. And now in her on her desk in her room, she's got like a display of
that's cool.
all the Lego things that we built. So.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
The kids, I sound like an old man, but the kids are growing up awfully fast.
Yes, they are.
They seem to just have skipped right past toys.
Yeah.
You know, what I mean is they're done with, like, by nine, they're on to something else. And yeah. It's like, I was into it until I was at least 11 or 12.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And then took that big break, and then
yeah.
as an adult sort of, you know, loved it again. But you know, that's kind of sad. Like, that whole, again, it's just, I just think there's so much information, and it's moving so quickly. With everything that it is.
But she also likes, you know, she loves, because we sit down and play board games all together and stuff. She loves that. She'll, you know, she'll do that
until
the cows come home, so.
And none of her little friends play with toys or really care about toys much?
No, not really so much, you know.
Was she ever into, like, Barbies? And?
She did have a Barbie phase, and a princess phase and a Barbie phase, and then, you know, there was sort of the Hannah Montana, iCarly phase. And they have figures of those too, so she wanted those.
You're still in your princess phase, aren't you?
Oh, I absolutely am. That's why I'm wearing this gorgeous gown.
I know. And your princess phone.
Yes.
Remember the princess phone?
I do remember the princess
phone. That's one thing that I always loved in the catalogs, the Sears catalogs that I remember, were the phones.
The crazy phones?
I always wanted to get a crazy phone. We never got a crazy phone.
Really?
Yeah, there was like a Mickey Mouse one, and there was a, you know, the figural ones that stood up.
Yep. I had.
Always wanted one. We never got
one. I finally got one in high school. I think I was a senior in high school. I went to New York.
Which one did you get?
I got Opus the Penguin from Blue.
That's a good one.
And I still have it, actually.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I'd never seen it before. I didn't know it existed. I saw it in the store in New York, and I was like, I've got to get that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of, remember the documentary I mentioned last week, Douglas Adams' Life?
Mm-hmm.
It's called Life, the Universe, and Douglas Adams.
Yeah.
Berkeley, is it Breathed?
Breathed, yeah.
Is in that documentary.
Oh, that's cool.
They became friends before Douglas Adams died. And I actually met him at Comic-Con a couple years ago, which was... It was one of those moments that... I was so into Bloom County.
Oh, me too.
I was so into those books.
Yeah.
I met him, and it was one of the few times that I sort of got tongue-tied, meeting somebody that... It's not like he's... What I mean is, it's not like I've stayed with Bloom County all this time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even have those books anymore, but I know what they meant to me.
Yeah.
And to meet him in person at Comic-Con, and like that first volume of reprints came out, and he signed it. And I was kind of emotional and tongue-tied, because I suddenly felt like I was 11 years old.
Yeah, he came out and did a presentation at, I think, the Long Beach Con.
Okay.
That was his very first convention.
Oh, what? Okay.
It was like 3 years ago or so.
Yeah.
It was right around the time that book.
Yeah.
And I went and saw it. I was like, that was the whole reason for me to go. I went and saw that. It was great.
Yeah.
And he was showing, like, pencil tests of, like, a Bloom County movie that never happened. And
well, there was Bloom County, and then it became Outland.
Yep. And then it became Opus.
But I remember the very first time that stuffed Opus plush came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran to get that thing.
Yeah.
Because I must have been maybe 11 or maybe 12.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then it started to take off. By the second volume of Bloom County, I think it really started to, the fan base really grew.
Yeah.
And they put that first Opus out. And then there was Opus stuff all over the place.
And I collected all of that.
Oh, you did?
I still have it.
Yeah. Oh, you
did?
It's
in my folks' attic.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. What about?
I've got probably 40 Opuses. I got the Bill the Cat.
They did a Bill the Cat. That's right.
I've got all the Christmas ornaments and stuff.
What was the Bill? Wasn't there a Bill the Cat where they aped that Springsteen box set cover?
Well, that was...
Where Bill the Cat's on the cover of the book.
Yeah, that was one of the...
And it came with a flexi disc, right?
Yes.
Billy and the Boingers.
Billy and the Boingers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a... Bloom County was big, man.
It was.
That was like my Doonesbury, you know, like...
I got into both of them. I got into Bloom County first.
Yeah.
And then around, I think, my junior year of high school, I started really getting into Doonesbury.
I like Doonesbury, but Bloom County kind of spoke to us.
Yeah.
Because they talked about music videos. He talked about music videos, Star Trek. There were loads of Star Trek references in there.
The Enterpoop.
The Enterpoop, you know, the old series. And, you know, they had one of the lead characters in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a really, really ahead of his time guy.
And very funny.
Very, you know, very funny.
Really got that style down.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So he's in the documentary. He's in the Douglas Adams
thing. Oh, cool.
Which is cool.
Nice.
So you can get it on YouTube in one chunk.
Okay.
It's like an hour and 20 minutes. It's a great...
Why don't you send me a link and I'll put it in the show notes.
Maybe I will.
Well, maybe I'll do that. Do
All
it.
Right, fine. I will. I'll go All do right. it right now.
Do you have big Halloween Thanksgiving plans?
I'm going to celebrate Halloween on Thanksgiving.
Well, you do. You did mention how much you love it.
I bucked the system.
Yeah.
I don't celebrate Halloween with everybody else. Not really huge plans. Thanksgiving to me is just kind of like, meh. You know, it's just...
Because you're thankful every day, is that why?
Yes, because I have turkey every day, and I'm thankful for it. No, I just, it's like kind of, you know.
Do you hate America? Is that the problem?
Yeah, I do. I hate America. I read Pravda on Thanksgiving.
Join us next week when I have my new co-host.
No, I just, it's Uncle just kind Sam. Of like, you know, when you're an orphan out here, and I've been such an orphan for so long. Like, Thanksgiving used to be something when I was a kid. Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know, I come from an Italian family. And so when we'd go over to my grandma's and my great aunt's, we had macaronis and meatballs and brajol and fish salad and you name it. Everything.
Yeah.
Turkey was sort of an... It was like we'd sit down and say, oh, wait, the turkey. And they'd go in the kitchen and get the turkey. So I'd, you know, be in school the next day or Monday, whatever it was, and like, what would you do for Thanksgiving? And I'd say, we had meatballs, we had sausage, and they'd look at me like I was insane. I miss all that stuff.
Yeah.
So once you get older and people are gone and then you... I've been out here now for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
It's sort of being an orphan, so you just kind of... Thanksgiving became like, well, where are you going this year? And it's like, well, I might go over to so-and-so's house, or I might do this or that. So we're probably going to do something with my wife's family.
Okay.
You know? But it's not a huge deal to me.
That's so sad.
I miss the Italian food. And a couple years ago, knowing that, my wife, we made meatballs, my family recipe for meatballs, and we had macaronis. Nice. So maybe we'll do that this year.
I think you should.
It'd be a nice way to bring it all back home.
I think you should give me that recipe, and then we'll make them, we'll eat them.
It's a family recipe.
Am I not family?
Well, I'm just saying.
It's been a year of this.
It's like in a vault.
Right.
It's in a vault. Speaking of.
I'm not going to post it.
This is episode 48.
Yes.
We are two episodes.
We are.
One episode away from 50.
I guess that's right, yeah.
So I think we've come up with what we're going to do for 50.
I think so. We got a couple of ideas. A
couple of ideas. I think we're hashing them out as we speak. Since you've all let us down so horribly.
Why would you say that? These are our friends.
Well, we just haven't gotten many suggestions.
We've gotten enough to do what we need to do.
Well, tell me some of the suggestions right now.
I'm not going to tell you.
No, tell me some of the we've got. Tell me what we've got.
This is going to be a surprise.
No, I'm not saying what we're going to do.
I know.
Tell me what we've got.
I'm not going to.
Why can't you? Because we're not going to confirm whether we're doing it or not.
Well, like I said, it's going to be a
big to-do. I think you should let them know what the possibilities might be.
Possibilities are, you know, spectacular. Celebration.
Wow.
Of
well,
all
I hope you let me
nerd.
Know before we get here, so I'm not surprised, and it's just going to be like double jeopardy.
Well, I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All of our listeners.
All of our listeners.
A very happy Thanksgiving.
Should you celebrate it?
If you're in the
if you're Native
in the
American,
States.
I'm really sorry about what they did. It's not my fault.
That's how we're going to end it. That's
I'm just
how
saying,
you
I'm,
choose
I'm,
to.
I'm thankful and I'm sorry that it all happened. It had nothing to do with me, but it's. I feel guilty every year.
And on that note, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you and good night.
Thank you, everybody.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys. I know Kung Fu. Show me.
Behold the secrets of nature's deepest mystery.